Good morning and welcome to Real Life Christian Church. Let me draw your attention to our announcements so you will know all the exciting things happening this week.
The Alive Connect group will begin a new study of the pastoral epistles beginning August 21st at 6:30 p.m. in room 102 and online. This study will be penned by the Apostle Paul to his trusted companions Timothy and Titus. For further information about this study or to register, contact Dennis Young at 540-842-7962.
Ladies, join us on Saturday, September the 7th from 10 to 12 o'clock for brunch. You can bring a lunch or a breakfast item to share with everyone. Drinks will be provided. Invite your friends and come and get to know other ladies right here at RLCC.
This is to let you know that our annual congregational meeting and election of officers will be conducted in the Fellowship Hall at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday, September 8th. There will be no adult Sunday school classes that day. However, all nursery and children's activities will be conducted as usual. Adult and teen worship services will be conducted at their usual time. Coffee and snacks will be provided for all participants. Absentee ballots and copies of the 2025 budget will be available beginning August 25th. If you have any questions, please direct them to me, Dennis Young.
One, two, three, four.
Thank you. see everybody here this morning, if you will. Dear God, thank you so much for this time that we get to come and worship you. We are here to carry out your will. We are here to learn about your word. We are here to be blessed by your presence. Please be with us as we worship you this morning and just in general as we go throughout our week, as you always are, because we love you, God. In your name, amen.
1, 2. Intro, 2, 3, 4.
The Lord bless.
You all may be seated.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Verse 1. verse 5.
Bear the cross as you wait for the crown. What a powerful message. I want to share with you this morning from John chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever shall never thirst. So we gather about the Lord's table today. I invite you to take a moment to reflect on the profound significance of this act of communion. In John 6:35, Jesus declares himself as the bread of life. And his statement is not just a metaphor, but it's a powerful reminder of his sacrificial love and the sustenance he provides for our souls. When Jesus called himself the bread of life, he invites us to partake in a relationship that satisfies our deepest spiritual hunger. Just as bread nourishes the body, Jesus nourishes the spirit, offering eternal life and fulfillment. As we break the bread and as we drink the cup, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. His body was broken, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. His act of love bridged the gap between humanity and God, and it offered us redemption and reconciliation. So what I ask you to do this morning is to take a moment and look at your own life. Are there areas where you feel spiritually hungry or thirsty? Jesus invites you to come to him to find nourishment and satisfaction in his presence. So as we partake in communion this morning, let's bring our burdens, our sins, and our struggles to the foot of his cross, where we can trust his grace and his mercy. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, remembering the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we partake in this bread and cup, we acknowledge our need for your grace and fill us with your spirit, nourish our souls, and unite us as one body in Jesus Christ. May this act of communion draw us closer to you and one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Join me as we offer thanks for this morning's offering. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, acknowledging your abundant blessings in our lives. As we give thanks, we bring our tithes and offerings to you as an act of faith and obedience. Lord, we recognize that everything we have is a gift from you, so we offer these gifts back to you, asking that you use them for the growth of your kingdom and the glory of your name. May these offerings be a reflection of our love and our commitment to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I guess everybody's just happy to be here, right? I started out this morning on a really good note. I left the house, grabbed my computer, headed down here, reached in there and grabbed my computer, and it was less than back. So I made a mad dash home and back, and since the first service I was rattled. But I survived it. And today we're going to continue our series we started last week called Collide. And we kicked off things by looking at the biblical principle of standing firm in our faith. And the world attempts to offer us different sets of values, doesn't it? It really does. And usually it includes that are initially seductive and enticing. But ultimately we find them to be inconsistent or difficult to stand on. So how do we pursue the things of Christ and not those things that the world entices us with? Well, we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. When we do, we'll start to experience the abundant life that Christ came to give us. But how do we keep that experience going? I mean, we get there, we feel the abundant life, and we know that we want to experience this spiritual high, this feeling all the time. But let's just face it, life has a way of sucking it out of you, doesn't it? Yeah. So how do we keep that experience, that high of that abundant life, you know, going every day? Well, I believe that God desires three things from us. And as we move forward in life, after we lay the foundation, there are three things that help us keep that experience. And the first one I want to discuss today is being transformed. Transformed. How many of you watched the series Transformers, all of those movies? You like those movies? I love those movies. Growing up, I was a part of those kids that got the first Transformers that would about half go together like you want them to. And then you'd try to put them back together and they never went back like they were supposed to be. I had all those little metal cars and I loved them. But now they make these movies. Matter of fact, they were on all day yesterday on TNT and I watched them all day. But the reason these movies were so successful had a lot to do with the idea of a transformer. Ordinary, everyday vehicles, cars, transform into superheroes that had amazing abilities. You know, these were just very, very, very ordinary. And the point that they were once ordinary vehicles transformed into something truly extraordinary. Something amazing. And I believe that God desires the same work to happen in your life. Now, I don't expect any of you to turn into super robots. But many of us have been tempted to follow the patterns of the world. Right? Don't we get tempted to follow the patterns of the world? And we get caught up in sinful behavior that doesn't ultimately fulfill us. It makes us feel good for a minute or two. And then we have to deal with all that guilt afterwards. God, however, does truly know best. He understands that when we sin, we get this little instant gratification thing that only lasts temporary. And he wants to give you something that will transform you and last. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about all this, and it's Romans 12:2, where Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, in this one verse, I believe Paul gives us an equation, a math equation. Don't you all love it when I talk about math? You know, first there's subtraction, then an addition, and finally an outcome. And I want to gather and find the keys to transformation in our life. Because I've found that most of us, we want to be transformed by God. But for some reason, we just don't let Him do it. So I'm going to give you a practical equation on what to do. And the first thing Paul invites us to do is to say no to the patterns of this world. No. Now, I'm a firm believer that in everybody's life, there's a rhythm of some kind. Some sort of rhythm. Now, I don't have any rhythm when it comes to singing, and I don't dance, which is a good thing. But a good rhythm would be one where we wake up early each morning, drink our cup of coffee, spend some time in the Word, and pray, and then complete our morning workout before work or school, whatever we want to do. But others of us find ourselves caught up in an unhealthy rhythm. You know, jumping out of bed, grabbing a Pop-Tart, and going out the door as fast as you can go. Have you ever had a time in your life where the rhythm of your life was off? Where it was just off? And maybe this was a sinful habit you kept coming back to over and over and over again, and it was disrupting the godly rhythm of your life. The fact is, it trickled down into other areas of your life. You found that that rhythm that you thought was only affecting you trickled down and affected everybody in your life. It affected all the areas, the places where you work, the way that you played, the way that you rested. Well, when I was in this season where my rhythm was off, I allowed to lead me astray. And I was stuck in a rhythmic cycle, and I didn't know that I could even get out of it. And that's the problem we ran into. Sometimes we get stuck in this unhealthy rhythm of life, and we feel like we can never, ever get out. We feel like we're stuck in this. And I finally came to the conclusion that what God needed from me was my willingness to simply say no. Say no. And in your life right now, maybe the first step towards transformation for you is some internal dialogue between you and your sinful habit. Talk to your sinful habit. I don't care what the neighbors think. Talk to it anyway. Say things like, "Sin, you've been creeping back into my life every time I convince myself you're gone. And if you continue to present yourself to me as a temptation, I'm telling you in advance, the answer is no." Talk to it. Say no. Say it out loud. No. And many of us have an unhealthy rhythm in our life right now because we've been, as Paul says, trying to copy the behavior and the customs of the world. We're worried about too much about fitting in. Oh, it looks like they're having fun. I need to go over there and enjoy that. We have a rhythm in our life, you know, that just shows itself, don't we? We all have this rhythm. And in some form or fashion, it's mirroring something our life is. We either mirror the world and its values, or we mirror God and His. Life is determined by what you're looking at. You're just copying whatever pattern you're following. So we've received the initial subtraction. The initial subtraction means we must say no. You got to say no to that. To that thing in your life that's dragging you away. But what do we add in its place? What do we add? Because if you leave it empty, you're going to go back. So if you say no to the world, then you got to say yes to the way. The way. You know, once you're able to locate the worldly patterns you've been following, once you recognize that you're following the world and not God, the space is created for God's transforming work to take place. Once you've located it and said no and removed it, now you can start transforming. Jesus desires that we live a life constantly seeking to grow, to be constantly transforming. It's like this poor plant. Somebody gave Leslie this beautiful thing, and it was doing really well here in the office. It was in a little cup, and it was growing. It got so big that we took it home, and we put it in another pot, and I almost killed it. I left it on the back porch on one of these good, nice Georgia days, and you can see the yellow leaves and stuff. It's trying to recover. It's trying to recover, but it needs some help. And what it needs is good water, right? It's a little dry now, so I would pour a little water on it all over the stage. It needs some water. And good, clean water. And I have to, if I want it to continue to grow, I have to continue to water it, don't I? Have to continue. Well, I don't have to. Somebody else has to now because I'm not here. Office looking at it all the time, but in Leslie's office, somebody, her or Donna, they'll water it. Some people water it too much. Leslie will water it. Somebody says, oh, that needs water, and they'll water it too. But the truth is, it needs water to grow. And we're the same way. We need pure water to grow. But even more than that, if I take and pour soda in there or sweet tea, or one of these fancy lattes that you all get with all the cream and sugar in it, it would not be good for the plant, would it? It would be filled with impurities that would in turn be detrimental to the growth of this plant. It needs water, just plain, pure water. And in verse 12:2 in Romans, you know, Paul seems to be concerned with how we think, doesn't it? He's worried about what we think. The thought process is important when it comes to growth potential in the kingdom of God. And oftentimes the temptation to follow worldly patterns and values begins here, doesn't it? In our minds. What you think matters. And some of you got some stinking thinking you need to look at. But it all starts up here with an impure thought, something that poisons the water. And the same is true for the patterns of Christ that He wants in our life. What are you putting in? What's impure that you're putting into your mind? But spending time reading and studying the Word of God will give us the right type of thought process. Think about the good things, the truth, the purity. And it will help us respond well when we're confronted with the worldly things. It'll help us to say no. And just like the plant just a minute ago, we can't simply water our minds and hearts every once in a while. It needs consistency. It must be a healthy routine and rhythm that we enter into. The Bible talks about this concept in Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers.
But those who delight in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. You see that? Blessed is the one who doesn't walk step in step with the wicked. Or stand in the way that sinners take or sit. In other words, world. Now I'm not talking about your outward appearance. I'm talking about your behavior. You don't stand and sit like the world. You behave in a way that shows that you're in step with God. And David is a walking, talking example of the importance of meditating on God's word day and night, because we know what happened when he didn't do it. He failed miserably, didn't he? David failed miserably when he didn't walk in line with the Lord, and when he took the way of the world. And it cost him dearly. Grief and agony was all over him. And God desires that we not just have the word near us, but actually in us. Much like that water that I poured on that plant's not just on it, it's going through the roots and getting in there. In our minds, in our hearts, and through our lives, the blowing through us. The work of transformation will only be done when we allow God to do it. And maybe something needs to change in your morning or evening routines to allow God to transform you from the inside out by spending time with him. Sometimes it takes just a minute to close your eyes and clear your mind out to allow God to speak to you. And that needs to be a part of your routine. And if you're doing this, if you're spending some time with him, you've moved worldly distractions out of the way. And this allows God to come and do a transforming work within you. This transformation begins in your mind. Paul closes out Romans 12:2 with the outcome that when we take these steps towards transformation, he says, then you will learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Isn't that what you want? How many people come to me and they want to know, well, I don't understand what God's will is for me. Well, did you ever turn the TV off long enough to try to figure it out? It's hard. I mean, I'm talking to myself here. To find your purpose. Your purpose. And your purpose is to please God, right? So how are you going to do that? Well, you've got to discern for your purpose. We know that even though Paul wrote this letter many years ago, it's amazing to me that God knew that we would need it now. And when you look at this book that we call the Bible, God's Word, isn't it amazing that God inspired these men to write this? And he knew we right now. Isn't that amazing? He knew that what it said we needed right now. And there are so many here today that have spent time tirelessly searching for purpose in life, but they've never opened that up to see what it is. You've tried to find it in the things of the world and figured out that it's not there. It leaves you empty. You've tried to find it in a relationship and figured out that it's not in a relationship with anyone but Jesus. You tried to find it by achieving a certain social media status and figured out you couldn't. I don't think God cares how many likes you get. Christ is the only one who can give you meaning and purpose in your life. Let me let you in on a little secret. Now, this is just for me. This is totally off of the... Just because you've got hundreds of friends on Facebook doesn't mean they're your friends. You're aware of that, right? The only real friend you have is Jesus. And he has called you to do great things for his kingdom. He's called you to do great things for his church and his kingdom. You have gifts and abilities that no one else has. And those things he's given you are for building up his church. But I wonder how many of us have yet to sense a calling from God because we've allowed unhealthy rhythms to distract us from the relationship with him. How many of us have been distracted and we're just not invested in doing what's right for God? How many times does that happen in our life? What's got you? You'll use people. The devil will use whatever he can to get between you and your growing in the kingdom. You know how many times people tell me, I would love to volunteer more and get more involved in the ministry of Real Life Christian Church, but I just don't have time. And I bet you that if I could monitor their time, there's probably 25 hours of TV or screen time in there. And you can't give God an hour of that. The truth is, we get in the way of our growth more than anybody else by choosing to say we're too busy, by being more worried about our likes on Facebook than loves Jesus. You know, the Bible is full of instances where God made it clear that there is still time in your life. You know, Christ is the only one who can give you meaning and purpose in your life. He's called you to do great things for his kingdom. You have these gifts. But I wonder how many of us have yet to sense that calling. And since we haven't been able to sense God's leading because we haven't spent time with him, the good news is there's still time right now to rewire your life. There's still time. The Bible is full of instances where God makes it clear that there's still time in your life. I mean, just this week, we were in Virginia, and Leslie's sister bought a ceiling fan at a yard sale, and I was there, so I get to put it up. Thing up, and the house was wired by a maniac. No, I'm trying to fix this maniac's wiring. So I unhook it all and I pull the wires and it blows everything in the house off. So I had to find that short, fix that short, put it back together and put it all up so she had a fan in her bedroom. But even though it was messed up, it could still be fixed. And your wiring may be a little messed up, but there's still time to fix it. You know, even the thief hanging on the cross next to Christ dying had time to receive eternal life. So it's not too late for you. Matter of fact, in Joel 2, it says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, weeping and mourning. Return to me. All the way back to Joel in the Old Testament, the Lord invites us to give him our life. Run back to him in repentance. Jesus Christ came to this earth, was tempted by the same worldly things that you and I are. Yet he did not sin. He said no. Ultimately, he died on the cross for our sins that we could be transformed into walking, talking reflections of him. You're not too far gone. You're not out of the game. Christ wants you back and he has a seat for you at the table. I was not a Christian by any means as a young man. By any means. But it was through the faith of others that I began to see that I needed to change. I saw people living out godly life. I needed to be that. And that change wasn't going to happen without Jesus. It was people that showed me the invitation of Jesus Christ. It was people choosing to say no. I was so far gone into the world that when I told my maternal grandfather that I was going into the ministry, his reaction was, well, who would have ever thought that would have happened? But it was not too late for me. And it's not too late for you. In fact, as long as you have breath in your lungs, it's never too late to make a profession of faith. For some of you today, that'll mean returning to a vibrant faith and relationship that you allowed to grow cold. So many times we become Christians, we're on fire, but somehow we just let the life extinguish that flame. Because life's hard. Kids are difficult. Going to Walmart will do it. It can be difficult. Driving down 75, you've got to really test your faith. If you're going south from here. I mean, seriously. And it's hard. And we allow that faith to grow cold. We allow the distractions of life to collide with your faith. And you feel distance from God. And some of us have felt a distance from God for a long time. And haven't mustered up the energy to do anything about it. We say we want to be closer to God. We can remember it. We talk about it. Oh, I remember when I felt that way. I would like to feel that way again. But they do nothing to try to get back there. Whose fault's that? We blame everybody. We blame society. We blame God. But the reality is, we should look in the mirror and see where our rhythms are. And see that we are not trying to reflect Jesus. We're too busy reflecting our own selfishness. We got to choose. We got to want that. And let me let you on a little secret. It's not too late. Can I say it again? It's not too late. It's never too late. Because today is your day. Today is your day. For some of you here, this will be a new step of faith into a relationship that you've heard others talk about, but you're ready to make your own. Maybe it's your first time ever wanting to experience Jesus. Today is your day. Believe me when I say faith is the most wild adventure you'll ever take. There's nothing boring about Christianity, let me just tell you. It's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. It's anything but mundane. Mundane is life, isn't it? Mundane is like doing laundry. Every day. Wash clothes, dry clothes, fold clothes, put it up. Next day, wash, dry, fold clothes, put them up. Same thing's true of work. Get up, go to work, leave work, go home, eat dinner, go to bed. We repeat these things over and over and over again, and life becomes mundane. And life becomes somewhere in there. You can find joy in that life. That doesn't mean you have to stop doing laundry. It doesn't mean you stop going to work. But it means you go and you do your laundry with a purpose. And you go to work with a purpose. You get up out of bed every day with a purpose to glorify Jesus in every part of you. That's where you find that full, abundant life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Add that into your everyday routine. The way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you need to make that decision today, make it. We're going to offer this invitation. It's a chance for you to come forward, confess him as Lord, and be baptized into Christ. Receive and begin that journey. But you got to choose to. For the rest of us, we got to say, you know what, God? I want to be excited again. I want to be on fire. I want to know that I am here with you. It all starts the same way. Whether it's a new faith or an old faith, whether you're 7 or 70, it all begins by choosing Jesus. Will you choose Him today as we stand and sing? Thank everybody for coming out and worshiping with us. Isn't it great to be at Real Life Christian Church? You know, I really believe we are real people living out a real faith and serving a real God together. So we got several things coming up. If you notice, if you look on the church calendar, it's getting ready to get busy. So let's get excited about it, because I know you can. I've seen you do it once or twice. So what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss here in just a minute. I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards. I do have one announcement. Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a memorial service for Doris Barton's husband, John. He passed away suddenly this weekend. So, you know, you all can put that on your calendar. Those of you who don't know, I've just told you, and I'm sorry to bring that news. It'll be at 11 o'clock Wednesday in here. There won't be a meal or anything afterwards. They're not even having visitation, just a memorial service. So you can come out and support Doris through that. Now, let's go out and be the church. You know, we're supposed to be reflecting Jesus. And that doesn't happen while we're in here. It happens when we go out of here. And people need to see that Jesus exists in us. And He sees that through the way that we live our life. The things we say, the things we do, they matter. So let's go be Real Life Christian Church. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for this time that we could be together. Please watch over us and be with us as we go out into the world and we be the church for you this week. And just watch over everybody, those that are sick, those that are traveling, as we go about our lives.